Good afternoon, friends. Welcome to the Lord's table. Let's prepare our hearts as we turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our blessed Lord, how we thank you for this great joy and privilege of being gathered around your table. We thank you for this wonderful invitation, Lord, that is extended to us as sinners, yet sinners saved by that wonderful grace. We thank you that it is a table, Lord God, spread with good things. We thank you that there is no greater meal, no greater feast on this earth than that which we are coming to this evening. We pray that, Lord, our eyes may be opened afresh to see the wonder of Calvary, to see the awesomeness of sin and yet the greatness of redeeming love. And we pray that our hearts may be melted again and that we may be lost in wonder, love and praise, that we may be able to say with Paul, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd just like to read some verses from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' And when he had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But he spoke more vehemently, 'If I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James and John with him and began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch.' He went a little farther, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will.'" Last month, we began looking at these two symbols that the Lord Jesus Christ has instituted to be a perpetual reminder of his sufferings at Calvary: the bread and the wine. And we saw that the bread that he took and blessed and broke is a fitting symbol of our Lord's suffering upon that cross. The Bible reminds us that he is the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven to give his life for the world. Just as Jesus broke that bread, so our Saviour's body was broken upon that cross, providing nourishment and salvation and blessing and eternal life to as many as trust in him. He is the bread of life. But then secondly, we saw that not only does this bread represent Christ's physical body broken at Calvary, but it's also a wonderful symbol of his mystical body, the church. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, "This bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." As we look at that bread on the table this afternoon, every piece that we shall take from it is part of one whole. It's a glorious picture of our unity in Christ and our union in here. But now this afternoon we come to the second symbol, of the wine. I think it's interesting to note that neither in that passage that we have read in the upper room, and neither in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul speaks to the Corinthians about the institution of the Lord's Supper, is there any mention of wine. The reference and the emphasis is upon the cup. He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The word wine is not used in either of those passages. And I think that's most interesting, most significant. Because, of course, the Roman Catholic Church teaches the doctrine of transubstantiation. They believe that our Lord was speaking literally. That when he said, as he took the bread, "This bread is my body," that it literally became his body. That there was this change of substance. But friends, if that is the case, if our Lord was speaking literally, he would have naturally gone on to say, "This wine is my blood." But he doesn't. He says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for many." He was speaking figuratively, not literally. He was using material things to illustrate spiritual things. And this symbol of a cup is one that is found right the way through Scripture. We find it, for example, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51. "Awake, awake, rise up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, you who have drained to its dregs the goblet that makes men stagger." And we find the same symbol brought out in the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 25. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. When they drink it, they will stagger and go mad because of the sword I will send among them." You see, God has a cup, and it's a cup that is filled with the wine of his righteous wrath against us sinners. It's a cup that all must drink from on that day of final judgment. And yet the glorious good news of the gospel is that our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as the last Adam, the second man, the Lord from heaven. He came as our representative and our substitute as he came to drink that cup for you and for me. Do you remember how he goes on to speak of it a few hours later? We read that Jesus entered a garden called Gethsemane. And he began to be troubled and sore amazed. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death." Now, why was our Lord so agitated? What was this depth of sorrow that he was experiencing? Well, it certainly wasn't the thought of physical death. He was no coward. It was the anticipation of that cup, of the Father's wrath that would be placed into his hands. As he anticipated that cup that would contain the concentrated wrath of heaven that we deserved, his righteous, sinless soul shrank back from it. He began to sweat, as it were, drops of blood falling down to the ground. Three times we read that he cried out with strong crying and tears, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." And yet, thank God, he was able to say, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine." There at Calvary, he took that cup with both hands, and he drank that cup that contained the wine of God's wrath to the bitterest dregs at Calvary. Wesley puts it well. He said, "In one almighty draught of blood, he drank damnation dry." And there's a lovely statement in our next hymn that we're going to sing, in the second verse, that lovely hymn of Anne Cousin: "Death and the curse were in our cup, O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop, 'tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up, now blessings draught for me." He had emptied that cup, the wine, the foaming wine of God's wrath that we deserve for our sins. He has drained it to the bitterest dregs. And now he takes that cup that he has emptied, and he hands it to you, and he hands it to me. It's no longer the cup of his wrath, but it's the cup that signifies the new covenant in his blood. That covenant of grace, that covenant of salvation, secured, ratified by his own precious blood. That cup of wrath has now become the cup of salvation, the cup of blessing. In Psalm 116, the psalmist could say, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord." And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, "This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" Because of Calvary, this cup of wrath has now for you and me become the cup of salvation, the cup of blessing. Let's say the grace, shall we?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of